From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Teens who have lost someone they love may feel angry or overwhelmed, struggle to ask for help, and withdraw from friends. The nonprofit Roberta's House brings young people together to show them they are not alone in their pain and teaches them tools to rebuild their lives. Coordinator of Youth Services Dorenzer Thomas says everyone grieves differently and on their own time.
We see grief as a public health issue, and our goal is to help our city heal and learn healthy ways of dealing with grief, dealing with loss, and learning how to mourn.
And we hear from three teenagers about what they've gained from attending Roberta's House, helping kids make sense of grief. It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. When a loved one dies, it can feel like life comes to a halt. It can be hard to imagine going back to a normal routine of work or school. Feelings of anger and sadness can seem insurmountable. The grieving process can be especially difficult for young people. They may feel alone and have trouble asking for support. The nonprofit Roberta's House, located in Baltimore, aims to help families, young people, and adults understand their grief in a supportive environment. With me to talk about helping young people work through their grief is Dorenzer Thomas, coordinator of youth and school-based services at Roberta's House. Welcome to On the Record.
Glad to be here.
Dorenzer, how do families and children get connected to Roberta's House?
Families and children are referred to Roberta's House. It can be from a school or other organizations, or they can call us directly. Our number is 410-235-6633. Our services are free, and we have various groups to help meet the needs of families that are grieving that are specifically designed for their needs and issues.
Roberta's House has a program for teens called Changing the Game. Tell us a bit about how that works.
That program meets on Thursdays from 4 to 6 p.m. It is facilitated by Darnell Baylor and myself, Dorenzer Thomas. We deal with young people that are grieving significant loss of loved ones and people in their lives.
How? How does it work?
Children come in through referrals, like I said, through direct referrals, through the families themselves or agencies or organizations, because we work with all child-serving agencies in the city and the state of Maryland. There's an intake process that usually takes about 30 minutes or so, and that is basically an application and getting to know where the child is and their knowledge of grief and loss, as well as ways that we can best help that young person. Once the document is completed, they're able to come into group. When they come into group, there is a tracking system that we have. We go over the difference between grief and loss. We talk about anger. We talk about providing healthy ways to grieve, opposed to being very aggressive, abusive, shutting down, even becoming more assaultive into the community. We help our young people develop positive ways of coping, as well as there with other young people who are grieving and haven't had an opportunity to express how they felt about their loss in a safe environment.
They're with other young people who are grieving. Is that really key to getting them to be able to learn some of the other things you mentioned?
It's key for a lot of kids and teens because individually they might not feel that they feel as though they're the only one, but collectively the group dynamics and practicums come into being and they see we have something in common. So they develop friendships. They develop a network among themselves in which they can help and encourage each other through the grieving process.
You mentioned the difference between grief and mourning, and I think most of us don't know what that is.
Sure. Grief is what takes place on the inside of you. Those internal feelings, those headaches, that they, like the kids describe it, the bubble guts, the nervous stomach, the back aches, the high blood pressure, all the things that affect the physical epidemiology of your body is affected through grief. Mourning is what you show people what you're dealing with. An example in our communities, you see people with the balloons and the memorials on the corner. That's a sign of mourning. Also, you see people letting people know they're mourning. They may have tattoos. They may have the dog tags. Or they may just have that conversation about that person who's died, that loved one. That is showing and expressing mourning. However, there are ways in which people mourn that are unhealthy.
And such as
being aggressive verbally and physically towards others. That's very unhealthy.
But you mentioned that anger is not an uncommon reaction to the loss of someone you love.
Anger is not an uncommon reaction, but anger is something that should be addressed and not ignored or minimized, because it can grow to be something that's more detrimental to not only that young person, but to their communities as well. That anger can turn into aggression. And aggression can be viewed in so many different mannerisms that people focus on not the antecedent to why the kid is angry, focus more on what are the consequences for that anger.
I understand the need to address anger, but how do you address it without somehow telling that young person the way you're grieving is wrong, you're doing this wrong?
Everybody grieves differently and everybody grieves on their own time. What we do is show that young person who has come to us because their grief has gotten so bad that they have reacted in the community. We introduce our children to journaling, community-based activities. We take them on various trips. We participate in the Outward Bound program, which helps them to develop courage. We bring in various speakers to help them grow through their loss, because the thing is that the loved one is not returning, but we want to help you grow through your loss, because loss and grief becomes a part of our lives. We even get involved in their academics. We go to the schools. We help the families with helping to bring the grades up or helping them to find the appropriate resources that they need to help them in the school. We provide them with various tools, many tools, to help them understand that the feelings that they're having are related to their grief and how these feelings manifested themselves after their loved one died. And what can we do to help you better move through your life and become a successful person?
That's Dorenzer Thomas, coordinator of youth and school-based services at Roberta's House. Here on The Record on WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. Roberta's House gives grieving people tools to deal with their grief. I want to pull somebody else into this conversation, Mary Dorsey. Mary brought her grandson Kobe to Roberta's House after he lost his father. Welcome, Mary.
How you doing?
Just great. How are you?
I'm good.
Why did you bring Kobe to Roberta's House?
Well, Kobe lost his father in 2014, and he died of a massive heart attack.
Oh, my.
When Kobe heard the news and going through the process of funeral arrangements and going to see his father laying there and everything in the casket and stuff, we noticed that Kobe was beginning to withdraw. So we just watched him for a while, but we really didn't know what to do. And he had fell down in his grades. He had came down to a D student.
Wow.
He was angry. He got very, very depressed and everything. So my daughter took him to see a psychiatrist. He didn't help Kobe at all. So we heard about Roberta's House. We went up there. They welcomed us with open arms, with love and compassion, most of all, understanding, because we know which way to go. And Kobe went into the program, Changing the Game. In a matter of a couple of months, we beginning to see a change in him. He was beginning to come out that shell. Just like Mr. Renser said, they teach him how to journal and everything. And he began to write his feelings down, because I, as his grandmother, and Evelyn, as his mother, did not know that he was this broken up, this saddened, hard-hearted. It was just a complete turnaround. Through the program, Colby has come from a D student. Some grades he have A's, some B, and some C's. He learned to communicate with others. He loved the trips that he goes on. And like Mr. Renser said, it gives them that inner courage and that inner strength, and they begin to learn to know themselves. So I'm just so grateful for Roberta's House. And I went through the program too, even though we went to sign him up. We were sent with other adults, and then we found out we were sitting in the grieving classes for ourselves.
I want to ask you about that, but Dorenza Thomas, what other signs should parents watch for?
Parents should watch for, these are signs. Some scientists and researchers said if you've seen these behaviors within 10 weeks going on to seek help, I suggest when you see them within 5 weeks or even some sooner to seek help. Decrease in grades, decrease appetite, or overeating. A kid who is very neat all of a sudden becomes disheveled in their living space. A child that shuts down, that was, other words, very active, playing sports and hanging out. Or a kid begins to hang out with the wrong crowd. Even with teenagers, yes, they do soil their clothes and get into regressive behaviors. So if you see any of these behaviors, and above all, if your child is threatening suicide, talking about they want to be with their loved one, please seek immediate emergency help, because all suicide threats should be taken seriously.
So suicide, you're not saying just call us. You're saying call emergency.
Call the emergency. Call your child's doctor. Take them to the nearest hospital. No one who's threatened suicide should be taken lightly. Every suicide threat should be treated the same way by and let a trained medical physician determine the next steps in that area.
Mary, Colby's experience at Roberta's House prompted you to get involved.
Yes.
Tell us about
that. Well, when we went through the training, his mother and I, you know that you're going to hurt, you're going to feel bad, but this too, we're going to grow through it. And I myself, I experienced my first death when I was 5. My second death when I was 7. And as I was talking to the group about it, Pastor Michael brought out to me that there was still a hold that I was holding on to all of them years. And I happened one night, I was just thinking back. And I said, you know, I believe Pastor Michael's is right. It's some things I just never let go as a child that I was carrying. But through that, and the help of Mr. Renser and all of our peers that were sitting there with us, you know, I wasn't by myself, you know. And it was other ones that was younger, that was older, but we were always going through the same thing, as if we were in changing the game. But we're older ones that's changing the game, you know. And it was a great experience. I loved it. I carry it with me wherever I go. If I know somebody that's grieving, I always mention Roberta's House, because they helped us. And I know they can help you. And I became a volunteer.
Dorenza Thomas, is this something you see often, that the involvement of children pulls the rest of their family into Roberta House's offerings?
I see it often. It actually happened with myself. I was a very young widow, and I came through Time of Sharing, which is an adult support group. And through Time of Sharing, that's how I got connected with Roberta's House. But also, yes, there are several families who have been touched by watching their youth grow through their loss and have been involved in various Roberta's House program and services, and as well have become volunteers and continue to be a part of the fibers of Roberta's House and what we're doing to help our city heal.
Yeah, that I wanted to ask you about that. Baltimore's dealing with an epidemic of violent crime and homicide. Is there a difference in the grieving process when you've lost a loved one to violence as opposed to some other cause?
We do have programs that are exclusively for those who have lost their loved ones through homicide. One is a family program, which is entitled Raise a Hope. We deal with the whole family, age 2 through adulthood. The meetings, the groups that take place around a family dinner's table, because that's the first place sometimes we recognize the loved one is gone. We also have a homicide transformation, which is a adult group that deals with families. We also have the advocacy program that deals with the homicide victims' families to help them understand more about the resources and services we offer, as well as resources and services available to them through the state of Maryland. We do offer and try to offer something for everyone who's grieving the loss of a loved one. We see grief as a public health issue, and our goal and objective is to help our city heal and learn healthy ways of dealing with grief, dealing with loss, and learning how to mourn in a healthy way.
I'm very grateful to both of you for giving us this look at what Roberta's House does. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having us.
Dorenzer Thomas is coordinator of youth and school-based services at Roberta's House. Mary Dorsey is a volunteer there. Quick break now on The Record. I'm Sheila Kast. When we're back, we'll hear from Mary's grandson and two other teens about what they learned through Roberta's House. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Kast. Anger, guilt, sadness, anxiety. For teenagers, the emotions that follow the death of a family member or friend can be confusing and overwhelming. The nonprofit Roberta's House aims to help young people develop the tools to work through their grief and help them rebuild their lives. Earlier, we heard from Dorenzer Thomas, who oversees youth services at Roberta's House, and from Mary Dorsey, whose grandson Kobe attends programs there. And Kobe is with me in the studio now, along with two other young people, LaCole and Raekwon. They're all 15 years old. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank
you. Kobe, you lost your father in 2014. What impact did that have on your life?
It had a major impact in my life. Like, I never wanted to really talk to nobody. I always stayed to myself. If somebody would ask me a question, I really wouldn't talk to them. Or, like, if it came down to me talking to a teacher, I would, like, always try to pull them aside and, like, see if I can get some help from them. And, like, if I could, like, I would just try to keep talking to that teacher. But other than that, yeah, like, it really hurt me to the point where, I didn't want nobody else in my life but the people that was trying to help.
When your grandmother suggested Roberta's House, do you remember what you thought about that idea?
I was like, this is going to be like when I was with the psychiatrist, when he really didn't help. Like, I didn't think Roberta's House was going to help. But then, like, when I stepped in the room, I seen a whole bunch of people that was going through the same thing as me. So once I realized that I'm not the only one that's going through a death in my family, the only two words I said in my first session was that you have a birth date and you got a death date. Then after that, I started to talk to more people, and then everybody started to realize that you all have the same amount of feelings when you're in that program.
That made a big difference.
Yes.
So what would you tell people you've learned attending programs at Roberta's House?
I had learned how to help people, how to show compassion and love to other people in their needed times, and I got better coping skills.
And now you are a peer ambassador with Roberta's House. What does that mean?
Peer ambassador means that since I had graduated from Roberta's House, I can come back and like I can volunteer to help the other people that's still in the classroom. So like if they need me for certain occasions, I can just go there and volunteer to help.
Does that feel good?
Yeah. It makes me feel like I'm a teacher and I'm teaching students.
How does all this affect what you think of when you think of your dad?
I know that he knows that I'm doing the good things and all the best things I can do. I know that would have made him proud. and would have made him happy to see all the good, amazing things I have achieved in life. And like now that I think about it as like my father, like he's my inspiration. He will always be. So I keep him inside of my heart. He don't go nowhere but in my heart. And I keep him there. Like whenever I go through bad times, I get my journal, I write, and like I have a conversation in my journal, like between me and my father. I ask a question, then I would like respond to it, like, and something that he would say when I would ask that question. Then I would just like write like a whole couple pages and stuff about it.
LaCole, you lost your grandmother. When was that?
I lost my grandmother August 6, 2015.
2 years ago.
Yes.
And afterwards, how did you feel when you thought about what happened?
I felt guilty. I felt like it was my fault. And I felt as though that I didn't have nobody to turn to because she was like a second mother to me. Oh. And I lived with her since I was four. So I felt like I didn't handle by.
And what did you pick up at Roberta's house?
I picked up that it was okay to cry. Because usually I thought that when I cried, I felt like I was a punk. And I felt like I didn't want nobody to see me cry. I used to cry to myself. But I felt as though that made me not strong enough. But Roberta had taught me that crying was okay. And it had taught me that everybody has the same loss in a family.
So when you think about your grandmother now, how do you feel?
I feel as though that she would be proud of me of all my achievements. And this, now I feel as though it's not my fault. I feel as though she is in a better place. And she was willing to be there for her mother because her mother had passed away too. So I feel as though that she's in a better place and she's always here with me.
So you keep her with you?
Mm-hmm. Every step of the way.
Raekwon, you lost your grandfather.
Yes.
How did that affect you?
Well, when it had happened, I didn't want to talk to nobody. I had shut down. Like, I used to play with people, but then I stopped playing with people. I stopped hanging around with my friends. I stopped talking to them. A lot of things.
How old were you when this happened?
I was going on 8 or 9.
And so you say you sort of shut down. What brought you back?
Roberta's house did.
How?
When my aunt Ted took me there, which I live with her now, but I call her my mother, she took me to that place because I didn't know how to go through grief and loss. So when my grades started dropping, I started getting Fs. All Fs. I didn't go to class. I started hanging out with the wrong crowd. So she brought me to Roberta's house. And then they had put me in this grieving pot. It was kiddos, middles and teens, and grown-ups. So they had put me in a pot with the little middles. So I heard everybody grief, and I started talking to people about what happened. And I got through my shell.
What kind of difference did that make for you?
I stopped hanging with the wrong crowd. I started doing my work more. I started hanging with friends. I started talking to my aunt even more because I never talked to her about my situations.
What would you say is the most important thing you got at Roberta's house?
Learn how to talk more and don't be scared, but I still be shy sometimes, like now.
You seem to be doing a terrific job today. Do any of you have any advice you'd like to give a young person who might be listening who's lost somebody they love?
My advice to you is don't be scared to talk about your feelings and don't be shy to express how you feel. And it's okay to cry.
Camp Aaron is a gathering for kids who have experienced the loss of someone close to them. It's supported by the Moyer Foundation. So this is a 3-day camp in August.
Yes.
I understand you're all going this year.
Yes.
To it. Raekwon, what was your favorite part of it?
Meeting new people. I met Kobe there.
Kobe, how about you?
My favorite part about it was meeting new people and my instructor teaching me how to play pool and table tennis. Like they was chill and laid back, but when it came time to get down and doing the work, like that's when like we really started like doing everything. Then we would go on these little grief walks. Yeah. So like the grief walks, like it would be all these posters hanging up on like different trees. Some of them said angry, depressed, sad, lonely, upset,
and shy
and all that. And like you had to get a marker and you would write on it, write about how you feel about it. Like with anger, you could say, I felt angry when such and such had died in my family, or I felt shy when I was about to cry in front of my classmates when I was thinking about my father or my mother.
Did that help?
Yeah. It gave us an idea about you don't need to be afraid or scared to try to express yourself in front of like a different crowd of people. And then like you could like walk out the camp, best friends, and y'all cool with each other. But like when y'all first go there, the first 2 days, you still trying to get to know each other. But then like as the days just go by, you start to have more and more fun with everybody that you with. Then you get to know certain things that people would like never really tell nobody. Real tight secrets that they don't want nobody else to know except for you.
What are you looking forward most about going to camp this year?
Meeting new friends.
Yeah, like what Raekwon said, like seeing new faces.
And seeing our same group members.
Yeah, and the counselors that was working there.
I appreciate your telling me about it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Kobe, LaCole, and Raekwon. Earlier, I spoke with Mary Dorsey, Kobe's grandmother, and a volunteer with Roberta's House, and with Dorenzer Thomas, coordinator for youth and school-based services at Roberta's House. At the On the Record page at WYPR.org, we'll link to Roberta's House page so you can find information about their programs for teens, families, and adults. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.